My name is Matthew. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from idolatry and pride. Hey guys, please pray with me. Father, thank you for rescuing and redeeming lost and broken men like me. May the words that come from my mouth tonight be spirit-filled and used to glorify you. Please use my life and my story to reach those you are seeking tonight. Thank you for saving my life and entrusting me with moments like this. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I fell in love with baseball as a child and went on to play collegiately and then professionally. God blessed me with physical gifts, natural talent, and his undeserved favor. When that career ended, God again showed me immense favor and opened doors only he could open. I began a career in the fashion industry that took me to New York City. From the outside looking in, it appeared I had it all. An incredible job that took me around the world, an apartment in New York City, and the admiration from my peers and family. That image couldn't have been further from the truth. My life before Regen was marked by selfishness, isolation, and pride. All my decisions were informed by my own desires and impulses. They dominated every single decision, and I did what I wanted when I wanted, despite how it affected others or even myself. I took advice from no one and accepted counsel from no one. I knew better than everyone how to live my life. My pride truly knew no bounds. My relationship with God was distant at best. I wish I could say after every victory and promotion, I stood in wonder at his provision and mercy toward me. Unfortunately, I did not. In fact, the thought never crossed my mind because of my pride and arrogance. I accomplished all those things. Through my sheer talent and determination, I had made all my dreams come true. Not once did I ever stop and thank him for the way he designed me. Not only for allowing me to walk, but for creating me with the natural ability to run, throw, and hit a baseball. For not just holding my cells together so I can form a thought, but he saw fit to gift me with the ability to think critically, play musical instruments, and excel in creative and artistic pursuits. My relationships with females were purely sexual conquests. I found validation in securing them, but then quickly grew disinterested. Even as I continued this fear of commitment, he blessed me with a wonderful girlfriend who loved and supported me. In turn, I treated her as a disposable part of my life, and I continued making decisions with Matthew first and foremost in mind. I kept her at a distance and never let her get too close, and I spoke vaguely of commitments in the future. I was a coward. I avoided difficult conversations, and I was not intentional in my dating and purity. One day, even after completing merge at Watermark, I came home and told her that I was moving to New York City without her. I was truly nasty and in desperate need of a savior. Mercifully, he loved me enough to bring me to my knees in February of 2015. While in New York City, I was featured in a fashion magazine. The company I worked for chose to terminate my employment for comments that portrayed the company in a negative light. I was devastated, alone, jobless. I entered a dark season of loneliness and despair. I went from landing dream jobs I wasn't qualified for to the guy unable to even keep entry-level jobs. When I would land a job, it would inevitably end badly due to unresolved resentment and pride. All my best laid plans and efforts for success failed time after time. No amount of ability, manipulation, or coercion got me any closer to getting out of this season. Everything I held my identity in was gone. I had no money, no admiration from my peers, and I believed I had no future. I believed my best days were behind me, and things were never going to get better. After this season of joblessness and trying to remain in New York, I was destitute. Dark thoughts crept in, and I started to believe the lies from the enemy. In my pride and isolation, I found myself thinking that the only way out of this situation was to leave this world. All the pressure, sadness, darkness, and disappointment would be over if I just ended my life. The enemy had lied to me and told me I was worthless and unworthy of love, redemption, and life itself. He told me I would always struggle financially and I would never get back on my feet. He told me that God wouldn't want anything to do with me after I had squandered all that he had given me. He told me God didn't hear my cries and couldn't, and that he couldn't know what I was going through. His lies couldn't be further from the truth. Through God's divine grace and provision, he placed a friend in my life that urged me to seek help. I had no money, no insurance, and quite possibly, best of all, no more pride left or notion that I had the answers. I was finally at the end of myself. I put it off for weeks, but finally and reluctantly, I went to Watermark on a Monday night. I didn't quite make it through the doors that first night because I was scared of encountering convicts, drug addicts, and people with real problems that I would find in there. I circled the parking lot and went home for the evening, but vowed to return the next week. I showed up the following week and I remember being shocked by what I heard from the stage. Raw, unfiltered, and authentic vulnerability from people truly seeking healing. I quickly realized why I always heard the healthiest people at Watermark can be found here on Monday nights. Initially, I struggled with step two, believe. I remember thinking true transformation was impossible, and the things I struggled with my entire life were just things that would always dominate who I was and how I functioned. A life submitted to God and His will was terrifying to me, and I couldn't fathom not basing my worth on what the world deemed desirable and valuable. In step three, trust, God divinely revealed the depth of my pride and idolatry. It was in this region step that I realized I operated as if I knew better than God. At that time, I did not trust Him, and I did not believe an abundant life was found in Him. To put it plainly, I thought following Him would keep me from the good things in life. During this step, it felt like I was having my own Acts 9:18 moment, and it was as though He was removing the scales from my eyes, as He did with Paul. He showed me that the hollow pursuit of worldly success and the burdensome weight of finding my worth and others' approval was never meant for me. This empty weight that I was convinced would bring life and fulfillment was only harming me and keeping me from true life. It was in step three where I finally accepted the invitation found in Matthew 11:30. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Step four inventory brought even more clarity as I realized my harms to me were not harms to me at all. They were merely a product of my own pride and idolatry. It was here I realized the truth that no one has lied to Matthew more than Matthew. In almost all instances, the supposed harms were a product of my own isolation and pride, and no one had truly wronged me. I was merely suffering the consequences of my time spent running from my father. I still don't have a lot of money, and if I told you what I do for a living, none of you would become envious or jealous. But please believe me when I tell you my life is incredible now, thanks to God and His unwavering and unconditional love for me. There was a time in my life where I thought all the cool moments and experiences were in the past, and I was struggling to find a reason to live for. God had shown me that the enemy is a liar, and I am His, and He was always there. And He heard my cries. When I view life through kingdom-focused lenses, my most mundane days of going to work and looking for hurting people to serve are so much more fulfilling and rewarding than my best day living in New York City or playing professional baseball. Each day, God shows up in incredible, tangible ways, giving me a purpose and increasing opportunities to serve and care for His beloved. These days, I carry a 2 Timothy 2:4 mindset, striving to leave each day on mission. A soldier refrains from entangling himself in civilian affairs in order to please the one who enlisted him. Today, I struggle less in finding my identity in my appearance or my job, and I recognize when I'm being informed by my feelings of, do I make enough money, or if my job is acceptable and pleasing to my peers. One of the most evident ways I and others can see God's transformation in my heart is the joy I now find in keeping commitments. There was a time when the thought of committing to anything scared me to death. Friends, jobs, church. I always had one foot out the door and never let anyone get too close. I'm grateful to report today I'm part of a devoted community group that holds me accountable to the man I profess to desire to be. Further, I have the privilege to lead a group of brave and inspiring men in region where I have a front row seat to the miracles and life change God is performing in their lives. Oh, and remember that young lady I left behind to go to New York City. In His incredible mercy and sovereignty, He has brought us back together, and I'm preparing for the honor of my life and caring for His beautiful, gentle, and treasured daughter as I make the ultimate commitment on April 20th of this year and marry Minnie, my best friend and most treasured of God's many blessings. If I could give you any advice tonight, it would be to keep turning up each Monday night. I know it seems strange and awkward at times now, but God is working in your life, and he has you right where he wants you. He's doing a work in you, and he will finish the work he has begun in you. Trust me when I say there's going to come a day when you crave what you find here on Monday nights. All else will seem counterfeit and lacking. The writing of this has been incredibly difficult, and I'm embarrassed to say I've been working on it since last July. It hasn't been difficult from a public speaking point of view or out of fear of being known, but because it's been a challenge to fully capture the magnitude of the work God has done in my life. I felt the weight of imparting to you all that God has done and how he truly redeemed my life from the pit. However, even as of this weekend, he lovingly revealed to me the pride I still operate in by reminding me that his will being accomplished isn't contingent upon the eloquence of my words or delivery tonight. While he loves me with a passion and affection I cannot even comprehend, I'm not quite that integral to the story he's unfolding. I fully believe in his sovereignty. He has appointed tonight to be the night someone in the audience will hear my words, however lacking and inadequate, and feel the love, hope, and never-ending pursuit of their gracious and loving Father. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to rest in his strength tonight and give God all the glory by sharing the story of his rescue and redemption of my life. My name is Matthew. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from idolatry and pride.